You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamiting the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Niall Flanagan.
Open the game.
Dwayne Maloney.
Good.
Elliot Page.
Good.
And me, Brian Smith. This week's episode, Darby the Gambler, Part 2. But first, the week in JoJo's news. I think this was sort of on the wire last week, but there's another animated video advertising Part 6. It was out. I'll stick a link to that in the show notes. Had you guys seen that at all?
Say again? What was it about?
A new animated video advertising Part 6, Stone Ocean.
Okay, I'd not seen that.
Oh, is this one of these weird, like, characters from JoJo's react to reading themselves in a book thing?
Something along those lines, yes.
Okay.
It's one of those series, yes. So they're currently doing Stone Ocean ones. And then the one which I think the most reported thing was the release of Hirohiko Araki's Manga Techniques book. How to make manga the Hirohiko Araki way.
Sounds amazing.
Which has a cover, I think. I think it's the cover, or maybe it's just the feature art. A self-portrait of himself hugging his self-insert character.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And so DeviantArt explodes and feels venerated all of a sudden.
So he's literally wrote the book and how to be a cis manga author.
Yes. And April the 13th on iTunes, April the 20th physically, is the release for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusaders original soundtrack 2, featuring the Oingo Boingo Brothers theme.
The hit single in time, in chops in time for Christmas. Yeah. Well, a bit early for Christmas anyway.
Yes, too late for Easter. Are those JoJo's soundtracks on UK iTunes? I guess not, otherwise I probably would have heard.
I've only seen him streaming on Blazers. Well, I listened to him on YouTube there. So I'm not ashamed to admit that. There's a really good, really nice soundtrack and I like it. I would buy it if they let me.
And the last bit of barely news was there was a poll of 200 men and women asking who is the strongest JoJo's protagonist. Now, who do you think was number one?
Jotaro.
Yeah.
Dwayne, who are you going for?
I mean, like, I wouldn't call it as him, but yeah, they were doing a Sage Jotaro, right?
No, they say Joseph, 34%.
Those people are good people. Those people are good people.
Number two was Jotaro. Number three was Jonathan. Number four was Giorno Giovanni. Number five was Gyro Zappelli. Number six was Jolene Cujo. Number seven is Josuke Higashikata, the JoJo's Lion version. Number eight was Johnny, and coming in a poor number nine, with only one vote, was the other Josuke.
Really? I thought he would have placed a bit higher. Because he's basically Star Platinum, but also he can, like, heal you as well. So you can punch through somebody, you know, and punch somebody on the side and then on the way back, bring his fist up and then heal it on the way back. So you can do those, like, justice shots if you want to call them.
Yeah, but he's a massive tool, so whatever.
But always make fun of his hair.
Otherwise, no, just generally, he's a bit of a shitheel. Like, he's not really a very heroic character. fun, but not a hero.
Did any of you expect to hear Polnareff on that list at all? No?
No, I don't know whether we're just limiting it to people who are the protagonist, the strict. Because that was, you can't just say Joe Stars, can you? Because of Gyro being the protagonist of Steel Ball Run.
Sure.
Okay, on to this week's episode. And Niall, you're going to fill in for Anthony and do the synopsis of, well, I don't know how much synopsis you can do, really. Unless you want to stutter as much as Darby did. To draw it out, because it is two men playing a game of cards.
And yet they have to leave out the intro.
Yeah, I mean, a lot happened. We just, like, forget the intro. There was, like, two guys in the game of life or death poker. There's just too much to go over here. Anyways, when we last left our guys, they were being menaced by Daniel J. Darby, the gambler, whose stand or Cyrus can steal people's souls if they lose a gamble or a wager and turn them into a poker chip. He succeeds so far in capturing the souls of Polnareff and Joseph, and is left now to Jotaro to challenge Jaivri to a game of poker to win him back. Now, first of all, Jotaro demonstrates his anti-cheating contingency by asking Jaivri to shuffle the cards and then like pick up the top few, and Jotaro will name them out, and he names them all in order because using the power of Star Platinum, he can see the cards as they're being shuffled and know precisely where they are. So Jaivri can't be cheating. Nonetheless, against despite being warned pretty fairly right there, Jaivri attempts to cheat by second dealing the second card down, not from the top. And for this, he gets his hand broken by Star Platinum. And Jotaro's like, Jaivri, I warned you, no cheating. I broke a finger. I could have cut it off. So, less the cheating, all right? We won't bring in a third party here. There's a kid playing soccer over there up in the hill. We'll bring him down and he'll deal the cards, okay? And now, to kind of, you know, make it a little bit more interesting, Jaivri takes the chips of containing Polnareff and Joseph's souls and divides them up into multiple chips. And they're going to use the bet with. And of course, Jotaro is going to wager his soul too, and there are chips being assigned to that. They play a hand, and Jaivri wins. Some chips being win fair and square, you know, from, like, he just got a slightly better pair of twos than Jotaro had. But then, like, you know, things escalate quite quickly. Jaivri gets a hand, and Jotaro is dealt his, and Jaivri sits about, you know, anteing up. He notices that Jotaro's not looked at his cards, and he's like, huh, like, yeah. Are you going to look at the cards, Jotaro? Don't want to do one of them? And then Jotaro confidently declares, nope, these cards are fine. I'm going to bet with these. And Jaivri is like, shot, whoa, what are you going on right here? But it's all a ploy, because he knows that Jotaro's got a crappy hand, because the entire cafe and everybody inside, including the little boy playing soccer, they're all Jaivri's employ. They're all his henchmen. This whole thing is a setup. Everybody in the cafe, no matter who it was, or no matter who he asked to shuffle the cards, would have been doing it. And this kid's a dab hand, just like shuffling the cards and like and dealing them out, making sure that Jaivri gets the cards he needs, and Jotaro gets just a dud hand. Nonetheless, Jaivri goes along with it and says, okay, well, I'm going to go all in and go like raise up and go put in all my pointers and my Joseph chips, so you're going to do something else. And Jotaro is, okay, if Avdol is okay with it, I'm going to bet Avdol's soul as well. Jaivri's like, oh, whoa, my. Okay, this should be my business now, but okay. This is causing doubt to form in Jaivri's mind now, because he knows Jotaro's got a crappy hand. I know the kid who was my henchman, he definitely gave him a crappy hand. It's got to be that. What's he talking about? Hey, wait a minute. Jotaro, where did you get that cigarette from? What cigarette from? What are you talking about, Jaivri? And the spirit's broken away. Okay. Shut up. Well, okay. Well, I've matched your bet now with all my chips. So you got to raise it up some more. And I know you got more so you can bet with. No, I bet. Isn't that right? You got cocky in the hospital. So, come on. And Jotaro's like, fine. I promise to bet Jotaro the Kakyoin's soul if I lose. On a piece of paper, affidavit. After I was like, what are you doing, Jotaro? Kakyoin's not even here. That's not actually fair. The guy's not even here. But then Kakyoin would be fine with it. He's grand. And then Jaivri is like, ha, very, very good, Jotaro. Now, let's go on with the game. Wait, Jotaro, where did you get that cocktail from? Jotaro's like, what cocktail? What are you talking about? I'm about to drink on this. And then more doubt forms of Jaivri's mind. It's like, if he could get that cigarette and that cocktail that quickly, then he might have been fast enough to mess with his cards and his quest flopped out his hand for a better one. No, can't be that good. Can't be. No way. Well, whatever. Fine. Can't be doing about that now. Jotaro raises his again. Everyone's saying, does that look good enough for you, Jaivri? Okay, I've bet my soul. I've bet Avdol's soul. I've bet Kakyoin's soul. I'm also going to throw in my mother's soul on top of that. After all, it's like, what are you talking about, Jotaro? You can't be doing that. Shut up, after all. We're here to save our mother anyway, so I'm sure she won't mind if I put her soul on the line as well, because if we lose, she dies anyway, so whatever about it. And so the bet has been raised to such an extent that Jotaro declares, okay, Jaivri, you've got to match me. You're going to have to give me something of equal value. Something like the secret to the power of Dio Stand. And this puts Darby over the edge. He's like, oh my god, I can't bet that. Because he knows that any traitors in Dio's employ will be immediately killed. Dio will suffer no traitors in his gang. But Darby has his pride as a gambler. And he knows, he knows in his heart, he's nothing could have gone amiss. He knows Satan's got a bad hand. But what if he's wrong? If he's wrong, Dio will kill him. And so we get this, he wants to bet that he wants to call it. With all his power, he's trying to get it to words that's to call, but the stress, the terror overcomes him. He knows what's going to happen if he happens to be wrong. Even the slightest chance he could be wrong. The fear, it just strangles him. He strangles the words in his throat. He can't get them out. He's so terrified. His hair is turning white. And it just, the stress overcomes him. He claps his slumped over the table. He admits defeat in his heart. And the souls of Polnareff and Joseph and all of our private chips are released. And it's like, whoa. How did you do that, Zotar? The simple thing. Like, oh, he knew what would happen. He knew what the consequences would be. And then Darby is something on the floor and is like, you must have been pretty confident in your hand, Joe Taro, to be able to do that. And I say, what does he have? And oh my God, he had a handful of junk, just as a kid would have dealt him. And it's like, oh, how, you put everything on the line with that crappy hand, Joe Taro? Oh yeah, that was a bad hand. Jesus, for good thing I didn't look at it. What would have been really bone. I would have been totally stressed that I couldn't have done it. So they managed to defeat Darby. They've released the souls of Paul, Reverend Joseph, and also everybody else who was enslaved by him. But they haven't gotten really any closer to, you know, Dio's location or his powers. But what matters is they're one less henchman to deal with. So they leave the cafe and walk up in the sunset. And then Iggy V joins them. You know, where he was all this time. But she's here just like, hey, I see you guys won. Well, I guess I'll join back in again. You guys didn't die this time, so I can stick around with you a little bit longer.
So they skipped like the entire intro and had an entire episode where two hands of poker are dealt.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing is it manages to beat Marduk Scramble entirely its own game for attempting to make card games fun.
I've seen it done in anime before, like, you know, like between this and like Kaiji Nakagi, which a lot of those, like, half the episode could be about the turn of a single card, and it's still enthralling and engaging. It's just kind of how it's pulled off, really. And I do it with aplomb here. Even gets, like, really, really... It looks like actually the kind of, actually, the animation like, took a turn for the worse, really, but I know it was just kind of being trying a different kind of aesthetic now, where it gets all kind of wavy and sketchy when we're getting to the end stages of Darby's nervous breakdown.
Well, there's only so much they can animate of people like sweating a lot and heavy breathing, like inconsiderably.
It got pretty gross, like towards the end. It was basically like exploding and or melting and or his skin was just releasing all the air.
Yeah.
It was visibly it's really effective. It's really effective because it just seems to escalate further. Like you've already got like the entire soundtrack of this episode is completely bananas.
Yeah.
But then like, yeah, it's amazing. But like the last scene when there's like a good 5 minutes of just Darby stammering, it's like the visuals just it's going further and further into crazy town of just like, okay, now he's going to make his chair fall over. Now he's going to perspirate and now he's perspire. That's it. And then he's going to just wig out further and then he's going to just gurn at the camera sideways while exhaling all his air in his body and then just like fall over and basically all but show him pissing himself.
Yeah. And you've got the kid and, Aftal reacting as
well.
They're
also freaking out.
Except Joe Taro's just sitting there stone faced.
Yeah, the Crunchyroll screenshot, like the thumbnail for this episode is great because it's like 1 minute in and it's just Joe Taro looking fucking stony. And he's just like, do not care. Like, we're going to skip the intro for my ridiculous chiseled visage, guys. Right. Check this out. But yeah, it's great because halfway through the middle, like, because the kid's in, like, Darby's employ and the kid in halfway through starts wigging out. And even, like, he keeps staring at Darby. And Darby's like, get lost, child. Stop staring at me.
Before we start recording, Dwayne was saying he couldn't figure out which film it was inspired by, but right. Niall actually explaining the thing I'd seen a few hours ago. It's The Sting.
Of course.
That has the exact same setup where everybody in the casino is in the employ of the person doing the
car. And what year was that?
Late 60s, was it? Early 70s?
Early 70s, I think.
Generally, we're going with contemporary movies, but yeah, oh, that's perfect.
I have to admit, I do like the fact that they only reveal, right, they reveal the whole, like, everyone is my puppet sort of thing, only when it makes actual sense, like, because you could pull that out earlier and you'd be able to lean back in your chair and go, whatever, but then it's like, you've already seen that Darby has full control of everything, and goes, oh yeah, I paid them all, whatever. Like,
yeah, this, you might say he hadn't played that card yet.
God damn it. I must admit, one of the best things about this episode was just how, like, Avdol becomes Speedwagon.
And yes!
He Speedwagons himself. And the part where, there's a part where Steel Star Platinum breaks Darby's finger and basically just holds onto it to be a jerk for a good minute. And meanwhile, you've got Avdol poking his head around Star Platinum's shoulder trying to see Darby to narrate as hard as he can. It's like a little kid jumping up and down on tippy toe trying to see something cool over a wall. You've got little Avdol going, ooh, what's over there? Oh, it's violence. Cool, I like violence. Let me narrate that as hard as I can.
I just admit that he'd be far too emotional to pull this trick.
Like, Anthony figured it was Avdol who was going to win in the end. And I was like, yeah, Avdol's not a gambler. If he feels something about something, he's going to let you know about it.
I think the amount of times
he's like that.
The amount of times he explodes out of his chair to yell at Jotaro is he's just like, okay, you've calmed Avdol down. And he's like, oh, Jotaro. It's like, oh, for God's sake, Avdol, sit down.
I mean, like, it's fair enough to get annoyed because it's like, hey, Avdol, can I use your soul? You know, you're pretty badass. I'm confident in your abilities. All right, I also bet Kakuyin's soul. He's like, whoa, you can't do that. He's not even fucking here to say it. Also, my mam's soul. And he would have bet the dog soul. He would have bet the dog soul if it wasn't for the fact that the Pope only admitted dogs have souls recently. So,
no, dogs haven't got any souls.
I'm pretty sure that dog in particular doesn't have a soul. Just for he appears at the end and goes, hey guys, it's like fourth wall, lol. And it's like,
if only it had been left up to Iggy, you know, if Bobman got taken out, up to Iggy to gamble against Darby.
just plays Jenga with his little doggy mouth. But yeah, I don't know. This episode was the best. Like, although the one thing we have to mention, of course, is the ridiculous censorship over Jotaro smoking.
It's God.
We're all used to it by now because you can't show minors smoking.
Yeah.
But it's just like it's hilarious. It's like his mouth. He's grown a spontaneous black hole beard or something.
No, but it could kind of fit in with the whole, like, you know, gambling tenth atmosphere. But it's like, no, the shadows have narrowed over his eyes, and it's like, ooh, he's I can see folks in the eyes, the steely glare, and it's a wreath and smoke. It's very atmospheric, I think.
Yeah, just a shame about the weird black bulge around his face.
The return of the cigarette smoking ninja.
I mean, like, earlier on in the thing, they did the standard shadow where they made, like, from his nose down in shadow. And I mean, like, I guess that's feasible, but later on it was just like, let's just black out the cigarette, like, really badly, like, just someone smeared it.
I like it. I like the how badly it said it. And the fact that it is only him who gets it because Joseph
everyone
and Polder are older.
Yeah. So the thing that caps it off for me and makes it kind of bearable to the point of being amusing is the fact you can see the lit end of it.
Yeah, like, it's a plot
point.
You
know what it is. It's just kind of it becomes a hilarious little addition at that point. It's like, oh, you guys.
I think with the exception of the start in the prison cell and stuff, every time Jotaro has been smoking, it is an important plot point. Like, where he's tricking the dude, you know, when they have cigarette smoke, stand user's vein pops out their nose. It's like, he always uses it in context. It's important that he's smoking to the plot, and yet they're trying to fucking go, oh, he's not smoking.
Well, that's going
to
encourage kids even more if they know how important smoking is. Save you against evil stand users.
If I smoke, I can beat gibbering, you know, blackjack dealers. Hot damn, I got to get me some smokes.
Just imagine if that's how they edited One Piece when four kids had it originally rather than a lollipop.
Oh,
just a big black spot over Sanji's head all the time.
Sanji's head is just like a sphere of black. It's like, look, just black it out. It's easier. It's cheaper. I must think one other thing about Darby, as well as turning into a gibbering wreck, is that from the first hand onwards, he's giggling constantly because he just thinks he has the measure of Jotaro, and he's just giggling constantly, and his mirth is palpable. Yeah, like, there's that great shot when he's putting his arm down on the table to scoop up all the chips, and it's great because it turns him from cool gambler dude into abject prick. And it's like, okay, you're going down because you're a jerk. there's justice in this comic, so you're going to go down now.
Yeah, like he just like slam his hand on it. He's broken hand at that and scoops it all back, you know, very slowly and deliberately, if one said. Gotcha, it totally worked.
I still think Jotaro is probably the worst character of the group, but I gotta say, this and Steely Dan are like his best moments. He's just like, if you don't like him after this, I don't think you could ever like Jotaro, because he's amazing in this.
Yeah. He has a very particular skill set, which is be absolutely impervious under pressure and to living crap out of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. I mean, even the first time that Darby freaks out about him not picking up the cards, it's perfect, because it's just like, nah, no chance, man. I'm just gonna, no way. It's great. It's a really, because the entire thing is a psychological battle against someone who is kind of impervious to psychological battling. So whoops. Well,
because he's basically like blank. He's just stony faced. It's not, it's like, oh man, I would have freaked out if I knew what my cards were. I was like, you probably wouldn't have. You don't tend to show much emotion at all ever.
Yeah. Well, he's great at playing cards then.
Exactly.
He's like the ultimate poker face. Yeah. And I just he was going for the long game of, no, just raising it until it make Gary bet something that he couldn't possibly put into the game. But just how he was messing with him, just with the cigarette and getting the cocktail from the bar, I was like, well, just putting those doubts in his mind.
In my memory, I remember that cocktail being a lot more like frou-frou. I mean, like umbrellas and fucking twizzle straws and all this
blue
shit.
Yeah. To begin with, like, when there's always so many things that could be.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the original OVA had like a friggin' palm leaf in it or something ridiculous just to make it look even more dumb.
It had like pineapple rings and all the crap.
I do like how in this episode it just cuts back to like Darby's like monologuing, and all of a sudden it cuts back to him, and it's just like, it's a weird blue drink. Maybe it's what, WKD or something else that Jotaro should not be drinking.
That would be the drink he would be drinking though. So,
what, yeah. WKD blue, just because he's a complete tit.
Because he's a 17.
He's 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, if they made this adaptation a decade ago, it'd be like Hooch or something. Like,
I kind of missed some of this that it did in the OVA. It was just, you know, like the Jotaro here, I did it once. He said, "Okay, you're gonna bet right now. Do it, Darby." And in the OVA, he just like shouts at him for a good minute, just shouting, "Darby, Darby!" He just keeps going on for a good minute, but I didn't do that here. I guess maybe they were caught for time, didn't have enough time to do it in.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, they had to fill a lot of that time with Darby freaking the shit out. That was very important.
Yeah. And also saying raise taking half a minute. Like.
I can't roll my R's, but he was like rolling. Yeah. The longest rolling of an R in my life.
when that popped up, it popped up in the subtitles first on Crunchyroll, so I looked at it and thought, oh, come on, Crunchyroll, no need to be too stupid about it. And then he does it. I'm like, oh, okay, fair enough. He is rolling his R. Like, fair, like, yeah, good job.
Yeah, he's nearly as good with his tongue as Kakoyan. Just, there's that animation of it just spinning around in his mouth, and I'm like, oh, that's just gross.
Yeah. Do you think they have, like, a specific tongue animator on staff or something? There's like one gross dude at David Production who just likes drawing tongues.
They've got a tongue consultant, like how Suratama had a fishing consultant. They just get someone in who knows a lot about tongues.
Fishing game might have to go a little outside of town as a fisherman, but you have like a reference point inside your head at all times, inside your head of the next person next to you at all times.
Yeah,
you just,
I know,
get them to pose for you.
If you have a stand user, right, that specifically eats through the back of your head to take your tongue, you're going to need a guy who knows about tongues.
Yeah. Hey, Tanaka-san, come over here. Do your tongue thing again.
He has to hear it. You need to bisect your head so I can have a look inside and see how a tongue works, okay?
Hey, intern, stand still for a second. Hey, what are you doing? Get away.
I've never seen a tongue do this, but I know so much about them, I can draw this.
There is, when you think about it, there is a lot of tongue trauma.
This is what driven me to it. It suddenly all come together. It's like,
still has a hole in his tongue, I assume. You know?
It seems to have grown back. No, we haven't seen any great detail, but
maybe he got a piercing that looks like a tongue in his tongue.
We'll find out. We can check next week on the other chap who had a hole put in him.
Oh, yeah. it's the revenge of Hall Horse and Boingo.
When that preview came up, I forgot that was coming up next, and I actually kind of like bounced a bit in my seat. It's just like, oh yeah, I forgot about this. Yeah. Oh, it's gonna be so good.
You think shit can't get better, and then it fucking does. It's amazing.
Yeah. They've got a hard job to beat Banjo-Ginga's performance, though, in this episode.
Yes, it was. He was fantastic.
Well, the guy they guess to do Terrence T. Derby has got like a hard to follow. Because this episode is so good, I did it again. A few raps later with video games. It's just that entertaining. They gotta do it again.
See, if Anthony were here, we'd be like, spoilers!
We see he's not here. And
I have to admit, I'm actually quite bummed out that Anthony isn't here so I can hear his reaction about this episode, because I've been wanting, since you started Let's Go JoJo, I've wanted to have him watch these episodes ever since. So now it's weird as a listener of this to be like, I get to be on it, but damn it.
Well, we'll ask him next week, and I'm sure he'll be excited when he sees Whole Horse is back.
Yeah.
That was the other thing we were having to keep secret from him, along with Iggy being a dog.
I tell you one thing, I forgot how little Iggy actually does. Like, seriously.
Well, we got a specialist coming in. He's not really going to help, but he's going to be around sometimes. Yeah.
He will have his nemesis, I suppose you can put it.
He's pretty much the animal mascot at this stage. He's not really going to do much.
I'm pretty sure it's Polnareff who's the animal mascot, because he's about as thick as a dog, you know.
Anything else to add before we wrap this episode up?
There was a hilarious bit of English when it tried to write the word flush and instead wrote the word flash up there for about 3 seconds, and that got a laugh out of me because I love that sort of thing.
It's like when a kid don't smoke, but here's how to gamble and the poker works.
I did like they properly pointed out that these other spirits are passing on to the next world and not just inhabiting the corpses of their bodies, which have been buried somewhere.
That would be terrifying, right? Because those people all went into comas and presumably died after a while. So it's like, and then they wake up in a coffin?
Yeah.
That would be awful. Yeah.
They wake up going, oh man, that game of backgammon was garbage. Oh no! Why is my arm rotted?
Like, I've been dead for years. That's not good.
I've never bet my soul on foosball ever again. it's like Death Parade or Death Billiards, but in a small, more compact form. Where you're playing for your life.
I think imagine Derby in a game of Death Billiards. Just think about it. Crossover potential.
Death Parade would be much better if it was just a crossover show of characters from other shows.
Lupin the Third versus Derby. Book it. I'm here. Quick, hire me. I'm cheap.
Akagi versus Kaiji.
Oh. Oh, no, you can't do it. I think they did that. I think Fukumoto had the two meet at some point.
Did he?
I know Akagi, like, guest stars in another property that he made, and Akagi basically schools the main character of it because it's Akagi, because come on. So, yeah.
Okay, well, I think that ends this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. So be back here next week for Whole Horse and Boingo Part 1. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamitingthebrain.com. Goodbye!
With the hump, fat girls, thin girls, some a little plump, slave girls sold here 50 bob a lump in the old bazaar in Cairo. Brandy, shandy, beer without a froth, braces, laces, a candle for the moth. Bet you'd look a dolly in an old loincloth in the old bazaar in Cairo. You can buy most anything, thimbles, fat cows, a little bit of string. You can purchase anything you wish, a clock, a dish, and something for your Auntie Fanny. Harem, scarum, what do you think of that? Benny, striptease, dancing on the mat. Oompa, oompa. That's enough of that in the old bazaar in Cairo.